words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the Jewish tradition, some of the holiest times are said to be those times that exist in between one thing and the next. Rather than beginning in the morning when the sun is up and the world is bright and cheery, holy days in Judaism begin often as the sun sets. However, pinpointing the exact moment when day ends and when night begins has never been a cut and dry task. Rabbi Reuben Zelman, in an article called Holiness of Twilight, speaks to this tension. Zelman writes that historically, rabbis, quote, desired to understand when day ended and night began, which was which and what to call it. But ultimately, many of them acknowledged that they could not draw a simple line between one and the other. That middle place between light and dark could never be boxed in. It was not day, and it was not night. Twilight was something else, all its own, end quote. Zelman goes on to explore the spiritual dimensions that twilight can take. He writes, quote, with their concern about demons, we might expect that our rabbis would have warned us of the grave dangers of twilight. Perhaps we should not leave our houses at the time of sundown. Twilight could have been considered an inauspicious time, a time when you wouldn't go out of your house to take on important activities. Perhaps the inscrutable twilight is when God hides God's face. In other words, Zelman concludes, our rabbis could have shut down twilight for us. They could have ruled it away, artificially dividing night from day with no possibilities between them. But they didn't. Instead, the rabbis taught that twilight and dawn are some of the best times to pray. They concluded that these times that are in between and indefinable are when our prayers are most likely to be heard. The place in the middle that made them afraid was also for them the place where miracles were most likely, where divine forces rise, and where transformation is most possible. Rather than shutting down the twilight hour, they opened it and elevated it. It is not a degraded middle place. It is exceptionally holy, end quote. Rabbi Zelman upholds, and I agree, that it is not just in between times that have a particular holiness, but in between people as well. Folks that don't fall neatly into particular categories, for example, or people who live on the literal and figurative border between one place and the next. People who are in the midst of a major life transition, whether retiring from a long-held job, grieving the loss of a loved one, caring for an aging parent, or any number of other life events that serve as a hinge point between one season in life and the next. I would venture to say this morning that Jesus's transfiguration on the mountaintop represents for us Christians one such hinge point in our liturgical year. This is a day when we are suspended in between the brightness and levity of the Epiphany, and we begin to set our gaze towards the cross. Peter and John and James are up on a mountaintop with Jesus, and Luke, in his gospel, makes sure to point out that they are there for the purpose of praying. Again, as Rabbi Zelman points out, prayer takes on a critical role in these in-between times. in the space between the dazzle of the transfiguration and the destruction that awaited him outside of Jerusalem, it was absolutely essential for Jesus to spend time in prayer and developing his relationship with his Father, our God. We hear in the story this morning from Luke that as Jesus prayed, he was changed or transfigured. One way of reflecting on this text might be an invitation to wonder or be curious about how we are changed when we pray. In our Lenten devotional, which is called They That Pray, and there are copies at both exits, I hope you will grab one. Many members of Calvary reflected on this question: what is prayer? How does it change us? Whether in the liminal space of grief, or dealing with chronic pain, or even simply pausing to give thanks before a meal and transitioning from the busy day into the act of eating, so many people in these reflections thought about and wrote about how prayer changes them for the better. In no case did anyone write that prayer is a magic bullet that answers everything and resolves all of their problems, but people did write about how prayer is comforting, how it forms them, and how it transforms them. As we enter into the season of Lent this week, it's a particularly appropriate time to think about how you seek to be transformed by prayer in the season ahead, and what discipline of heart or mind or body would make that transformation possible. In one of the preaching podcasts I listen to called Working Preacher, a contributor and biblical commentator named Rolf Jacobson speaks about this Lenten journey that we make with Jesus. He reminds us of the gravity of the situation. He writes that Jesus's journey is going to end on another mountain than the one we saw him on today. Jacobson writes, he will not be on that other mountain. He will not be lit up like the Vegas Strip. He will be in darkness. It's always funny to me how Peter, James, and John want to stay on that first mountaintop, the bright and the shiny one. And even to make a dwelling there where they can stay with Jesus in his radiant glory forever. It's funny to me because I think it represents such a truth about the Christian life. It seems so easy for us, and I include myself in this, to follow Jesus when everything is good and when we're experiencing smooth waters. But in fact, what we are called to do in the Lenten season is to descend the mountain and to walk that tightrope with Jesus toward Jerusalem. When we walk that tightrope with Jesus, we know full well that it will put us right on that razor's edge between acceptance, right on that razor's edge between acceptance on one hand and rejection on the other, comfort on one hand and disruption on the other, and yes, even life and death at times. To be clear, to walk the fine line with Jesus doesn't mean that we don't sometimes get swept around or lose our balance. Those are all natural and normal part of having a practice of faith. In fact, when we open ourselves to the movement of the Spirit, as we open ourselves to the painful, sometimes soul-stretching that accompanies prayer and that accompanies spiritual disciplines, I believe we move ever closer to the heart of God. We move ever closer to the reality that Jesus faced when he turned toward the place where he would ultimately die, not donning dazzling white, but instead, as we know, a crown of thorns. In my children's sermon illustration an hour ago, I tried with questionable success to point out how easy it would be to simply teleport from the dazzle of the Transfiguration to the glory of Easter morning, right? Just magically go from one to the next. But the truth is, we have to make that journey in full. Without descending into Ash Wednesday and the 40 days of Lent that await us on the other side of today. I think it's a message that regardless of age, we can all stand to hear. We who have seen Jesus in all his glory must be willing to stand with him in his humiliation as well. We who have seen him shimmering and shiny on the mountaintop must also be willing to stand with him when he is ashamed. We who have journeyed to high places with him must also be willing to stand with him in sorrow and in defeat. And we have to be willing to do that for each other too. We do this because it's the right thing to do. And we do this because at the end of the day, there's just no way to appreciate the unspeakable joy of the resurrection if we don't first bear witness to the unspeakable trauma that unfolds between these two high places, the mountaintop and the cross. So as we turn toward Lent this week, war has broken out abroad. Here in the United States, the dignity of transgender young people is being diminished. And locally, I know this because I receive their emails every week, the Humane Shelter is overflowing with adoptable animals. As a side note, the Fearless Youth, the tweens of Calvary Church, have made it their mission this Lent to work on issues of animal rights. I don't bring any of this up to say that we are in a hopeless place or a hopeless season, but instead I bring up these realities as a way of saying that, if anything, our Lenten fasts ought to serve to draw us closer to the realities of the world. Not in a protected dwelling set apart from what's going on. Not in that, you know, how Peter, James, and John wanted to stay on that mountaintop forever. In Lent, I think, we are called to be of the suffering of the world. It's no surprise that if you follow the narrative in Luke, after Jesus comes down off the mountain after the Transfiguration, he immediately goes and heals a boy who is literally, the gospel says, he is foaming at the mouth, a boy in desperate need of healing. In this in-between space, know that, as Reuben Zelman reminds us, your prayers are especially holy. Know that as you grieve and lament and stretch and grow, you are surrounded by a community of loving others, people in this room right now, who stand shoulder to shoulder with you, practicing what it looks like to follow Jesus through the thick and through the thin places in life, the times of certainty and the times of doubt, the mountaintop experiences, the tightrope experiences, the dazzle, the defeat, and ultimately the triumph. No single one of us does or can have all of the answers, and there is lots of grace in this place, but in my opinion, we all must do our part in this coming season to enter into it with intention and with awareness and with effort. So I invite you to read the reflections that your siblings in Christ have written in the Lenten devotional. Please grab one for yourself, and there are many copies, so if you have a friend or family member who you think would appreciate it, grab one for them as well. Some of the reflections are comforting, some of them are challenging, but they are all very real reflections of robust lives of faith. Embrace the in-between time that we are in. Share about your findings with others. Don't rush to put it in a box or wrap a bow around it. Make space for the mystery of this season. And above all, keep walking the tightrope. Amen.